Coming to you from the kitchen slash podcast studio on the south coast of England in Brighton, this is the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge Podcast, your go-to hub for no-nonsense content and absolutely no false promises of passive incomes or getting rich quick. So settle in and join your host, Des Hamilton, to find out exactly how to say goodbye to being poor and hello to being rich. Sponsored by Stellaamp. Sourcing analysis simplified.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge Podcast. Did you spot it? That's right. We got a new voiceover. I've only been promising this for about 4 years. But we got it. We got it in place. And did you notice the other thing? We are officially sponsored. And I want to shout out thank you to Stellaamp SaaS for putting your faith in us. You guys all know by now what I think of Stellaamp. It is a great, great bit of kit. It is the essential bit of kit when you're starting your Amazon journey. You simply need Amazon Seller Central and Stellaamp SaaS, and that is you rolling. I'm going to be doing a lot of work with Stellaamp for the foreseeable future, and I'm really keen to show you just what it can do. But let's get into the show today. Today, we are talking to Jason Hoy, who is FBA Vanguard on TikTok. He is over in Canada, and he started his journey roughly the same sort of time as me, but he went, bang, straight into private label because he had a bit more startup money than I did. And he did it through the FBA Boss Academy, who are a couple of guys, Kevin and Kevin, over in the States. And Jason has now morphed into a consultant for them and works alongside them, aligning himself with them, and at the same time, kicking his own business on. He really is an inspiration. And on top of that, he is a lovely, lovely guy. It's a pleasure to have him on here. And I don't think I told him this, he's probably got the coolest voice of anyone I've ever known. What we're going to do, we're going to have Jason come back from time to time because it was such a good chat. The interview plan that I wrote down, yep, you won't believe this, but I actually prepare. So the interview plan that I wrote down for Jason, it kind of went out the window early doors, because we just ended up chatting. So you'll notice when we first go into the conversation, there's no hi, welcome, 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 because I press record, because we were just having such an in-depth Amazon-related chat, figuring out how different things are on each side of the Atlantic. It wasn't worth it, so we just rolled it. We've still got some really, really great content in this interview. It's such a good one. I know we can get value from Jason. Keep coming back, and he will be a friend of the show. Speaking of friends of the show, my wife put her resignation letter in this week. That's my news. I'm not going to lie to you. It has been such a busy, busy week, but there is an awful lot that I'm not quite ready to share yet. But my wife handed her notice in. She had been a secondary school teacher in maths for over 20 years. It takes an awful lot to do something. Despite what is going on with the business, despite the money that's coming in, despite the fact that we know that we have got security in the numbers that we are bringing in and that the salary isn't necessarily as important anymore, it still takes a lot. When you have identified yourself as a role, for whatever that is, for 20 years, to suddenly not be that anymore. There are certain public sector jobs, teacher, police officer, firefighter, nurse, you know, where you are defined by that job title, whether you like it or not. So to have that shift, it's a massive, massive step. And we knew this going into it, and it had been a slow build up to it. I mean, Claire had been on maternity for the best part of 6-7 months anyway at this point. So it wasn't necessarily a massive leap, but it doesn't change the fact that the defining feature of Claire's career no longer exists anymore. And what's really sad was that everyone in the profession was happy for her, because all of a sudden teaching isn't the same thing now as it was 20 years ago. All of a sudden there's a trenches mentality about it. A bit like nursing, a bit like firefighting, a bit like, you know, every other public sector job. It's really incredible. But there was a turning point with Claire, and it happened long, long before we put this challenge in place and long before we put these ideas of business in place. Claire had been a Duke of Edinburgh Award person, whatever they're called. And as part of this group, one of the field trips around 2018 was to go to Nepal and to do like the base camp of Everest. And she went out there, and when she came back, there was a change, real notable change. And we sat down and she said to me, "We're not doing it right over here. Over there, they've got nothing and they're much, much happier because community and family and the spirit of togetherness is more than anything that a career can bring you." And I'll never forget that. There was a change and she never went back. So the dedication she had in, yes, she still did her job and yes, she still did it very well. She was like second in the faculty. But there was a mentality shift, a mindset shift. A switch was flicked and she never went back. So when we worked towards this strategy that we had where we knew we were going to eventually leave our jobs, it was already in Claire, you know, the idea, the concept, the notion that she didn't want to be a teacher for the rest of her life was already there. And it was just fascinating. And it's such a shame that the country has gone this way, where we have lost sight in the reasons why we work. But it's easy to get back. And this is the thing. If you want to, you know, you might not want to, and that's fine. But when it comes to building businesses, second incomes, I'm not going to call them side hustles, but you know what I'm getting at. If you just say, "I want to take the pressure off my day job so I can enjoy it more," great. More power to you. Absolutely. Why not? But if you do want to leave and you do want an exit strategy, my God, there are opportunities now that people never, ever, ever had before, where you can make money on the side through the internet with little startup money. I have banged on about Amazon FBA being a low barrier to entry start into arbitrage with a few hundred pound where you can tick it over and keep it rolling. I'm finding, as I discuss print on demand more and more, as I'm getting into that at the moment, that is equally the same sort of thing, low barrier to entry, very small startup money, but you do need to invest more time before you start getting returns in. And you do need to do it properly because it is a cesspit of get rich quick schemes out there. You need to find the right people and you need to implement it correctly. Anyway, I digress. That's my story this week. Really, really big news for us. Really big news. And now it's just a case now of finding out how much leisure time Claire can have, but how much she can throw into the business so we can grow at a quicker rate so I can then leave. That's the next stage. And that's going to be interesting. My God, get out the champagne. Come on. Right, let's get back into today's episode, shall we? Let's have a chat with Jason. I can't wait for you to listen to this one because it's so enlightening. It really, really opens your eyes into what opportunity a second business on e-commerce using Amazon FBA specifically in this field can do for you. I want you to pay attention as we talk about this, about the ease that Jason found stepping into this new world was going to be. He's a self-declared introvert, and you listen to the things that he's done because he's inspired by this business and he can see what opportunity it is if he just takes his action. Same sort of themes as always, right? Take action, get resilient, get determined, switch that mindset on so you believe it, you feel it, it can happen to you. Have a listen to this interview and then I'll see you on the other side. Roll it.
You and I are very much on the same path because that's all of my content on TikTok is, it's troubleshooting for people. It's a bit of like motivation and you can do this on your own kind of stuff. And a lot of just realistic expectations. That's one of the hardest things with this entire space is there's all these things where with private label in particular, it's always the three easy steps. And it's always the same thing. Find a winning product, send your winning product to Amazon. Amazon sells it. You make all the money. Find a winning product is like 19 steps. That's not one step. That's not like, that's a category of steps. But it's not, that's not a single thing. That's actually what, and that's actually one of the hardest things to do in that space is finding a good product. And it's all based on data and metrics, right? Yeah. So that's the stuff I like to talk about. And it's funny because you still get the people commenting about, oh, it's all a scam. It's like, You're free to look through all of my videos. Not once have I said that you should sign up for the program that I work with. Like,
no,
you don't care. I legitimately don't care. If you find something that works for you, if it's a free resource or if it's signing up with any program, great. As long as you're doing something, as long as you're doing something to try to get better at where you are, right? Like,
definitely.
I think you guys over there are in a similar situation to us where like they just bleed you dry, like taxes and fees and cost increases and hikes. And it's just,
relentless. It's
absolutely brutal, right?
It is. It is. Funny enough, I wrote and did my monologue for the podcast episode that's coming out this Thursday. And I talked about this whole fabled 10K a month. Everything's 10K a month. Have you noticed? It's unbelievable. But I broke it down. I genuinely don't think 10K a month will get us anywhere near the life that we want to have.
No.
Because the government have bled us so dry. Yeah. Something crazy like 10 grand still isn't enough, yeah. Which is madness.
The parts of the U.S. which haven't been quite hit, it's bad in the U.S., but it hasn't been hit quite as bad economically as like Canada, the U.K. have, which has some serious problems. Even in the U.S., there was a report that somebody had done the math on like what groceries cost. They went to like Home Alone or something, like a movie back in the day. And it was what their grocery bill was for a week's worth of groceries for a family. And they went and bought the same things a couple years ago, and they updated it and did the same purchase like today. And in like 20 years, there was a jump of about 40%, right? Which is a big jump. But then the jump in the most recent 3 years was like 72%.
Nah.
So like you can't, and that's in the States. Here, it's even worse. Knowing how logistics and shipping and how things move around the world, knowing how all that stuff works, you can't tell me the cost of these things have gone up drastically, but are only impacting groceries, right? No. They're not impacting, automobile prices haven't gone up 70% in the last 3 years. Right. So it's not based on what you're shipping.
No, or parts or no, exactly right. I mean, over here, we've even car insurance now, that's almost double. You think, how, why? Of all the things, groceries are one thing, but car insurance, what the hell?
Professionals like nurses who can't afford a home and are in one lady's case, living in her car, working full time in a hospital and living in her car because she can't afford a place to live.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? It's the same over here. We got food banks inside hospitals for the staff.
Yeah.
But they're still charging them to park their cars in the hospital.
This is what made me start looking at other things. It was one of the factors that made me kind of want to change. So to tiptoe around some NDAs that I'm still technically bound by, though I am resigning this week, I'm submitting the paperwork to resign my position from my last job.
Good
which
for
is
you.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, I bet it is.
My wife has always worked in restaurants. She's owned a couple of her own companies, but she just likes being a server because she can make, you know, a few hundred bucks a night in nice restaurants.
Yeah.
She likes talking to people, and then she does a decent living, right? And she gets to work like 20 hours a week.
Sounds ideal.
Between the two of us, me making 110 a year and her doing that, we were getting where we're looking at cutting coupons. And it's like, that's insane. So between that and some of the mental health stuff, it was just like, I just have to quit. Like I still had another, it was either 13 or 16 years to go before I could retire. And it's like, I'm hanging on day to day right now. Like, I don't know if I can make another 5 years, let alone 15. I just won't be there for it. So it came time where it's just, I have to make a change and just start exploring options.
Yeah.
Mate,
good for you though. But I mean, cause how many people are in exactly your shoes right now that won't even consider doing that?
Yeah. Well, it could be, especially for that job in particular, it doesn't have a lot of minimum requirements. Like it has its own like academy you go through to make sure that you can get the job, with its own training requirements. And if you fail any of the stages, you just get let go. You don't get the job. Right.
Right.
So it does have its own internal training program to assign positions, but there, you don't need a university degree. You don't need to have really much of anything as far as actual skill sets, because they train in all the skills that they need.
Yeah.
And so you end up with a lot of people who are of, you know, the whole scope of talented, right? Road cones all the way up to really, really good people, who in a lot of cases for the same amount of time invested, you can't get a job that pays that well in Canada. Mm-hmm. So, right.
I tried, you know, a few years ago, I filled out the papers. I sat the exams to qualify for visa to come across to Canada.
Yeah.
Because at the time I was a police officer and it was one of those transferable jobs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, naturally the first thing I thought was, I want to go live in Vancouver. That sounds great. And then of course Vancouver don't accept anybody ever.
Or you drop in the middle of the prairies. You end up
yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. They, yeah, give me a horse to ride. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a few instances that occurred. The full description is basically I spent the better part of 20 years working for the government, right? In that position. That we can't talk about what it is.
Yeah.
With about 20 years into that job, I had done a really good chunk of it, maybe 8 or so years in a position in the West Coast that was primarily around like drug interdiction. And it was good work, but I was driving like an hour and a half each direction, you know, to and from every day. Ooh. I mathed it out one day and I was basically spending, if you count a day of 24 hours, I was spending a February every year just commuting. Which is insane, right? And it isn't a cost. Like my fuel bill was $1,000 a month kind of thing. So I eventually got into a position where I was working closer to home. Right before COVID hit, I got dropped into an assignment as a manager, which was an entertaining time. Wow. Like policy changes that were happening overnight when government, as you know, is not the most agile entity. They take like 6 months worth of committees to decide who's buying coffee.
Yeah, right? It's not a dynamic workplace, is it?
Yeah. So it was a very interesting time. I spent those temporary positions were supposed to be like 6 or 8 months tops. I did that for, I think, 4.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And throughout, like it just got worse and worse, right? The pandemic really brought out a lot of very bad people and the kind of the worst in people that were somewhat normal otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so it got to where, just from a mental health standpoint, I just hated my job. I hated it so much. Like I was just dreading going to work every day because I knew there was going to be just some kind of nonsense.
I bet. There were certain jobs during that entire time where you were really in the trenches. I was lucky. I was very lucky. I had an office job. We had just had our third born and I was allowed to stay home, you know?
Yeah.
Certain jobs, they're called blue light jobs over here. And they got priority. If we were queuing for the supermarket, they got to go in first and stuff. Yeah. But same sort of deal. You guys were in the trenches, man. I can't imagine what it was like.
My wife one day, because we had the same thing, but you had to show your identification.
Yes.
It didn't come with a plus one, though. So my wife, who had spent like 3 months not leaving the house, we went to go to Costco and she had to wait in the car. She was not impressed. She wanted to be out of the house doing something, right? So it was tough. The whole thing was just it wasn't good for anybody. It was a kind of a rough time. But in those positions where you're interacting with people and generally not in a good context, it got to the point where the staff, to a degree, had almost like kind of weaponized me. Like I was the guy they rolled out because I didn't care about. How do you phrase it politely? Sometimes people would show up with agendas, the public, and I just didn't have any time for it. Like there was a job to be done and the rules were the rules. And if you didn't like them, that's a shame, but it is what it is, right? And so when some of these types would show up just for the sole effort of picking a fight with no actual reason to be there, they would kind of roll me out because I just didn't have any time for it, right?
Yeah, right.
Through time frame where it just got to be incredibly stressful, I ran into a situation one day where probably it would have been, I think, 2021. I was in a position where someone was going to try to harm me or take my life. And my counter was to basically try to talk them out of it or worst case have to kill them. That was kind of where it gotten to, right? Because there was some, they were very bad people, like without any details, effectively, they were a very, very, very bad person, the three of them that were there. And so at the end of it, it all resolved peacefully. Everybody was fine. I'm back in my office afterwards, starting the paperwork. And this was about 10 o'clock at night. And I was supposed to have gone home at 10. And I knew I had like at least 4 hours of paperwork. And probably my next three shifts were going to be just paperwork to get the stuff sorted out. And I was pissed off. I was really annoyed. And one of the guys came in to check on me. He's like, hey, like you were like front and center with that. Are you good? Like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm pissed off. I've got like all this paperwork to do. This just kind of killed my night. I'm not getting home until at least 2 a.m. And then the rest of the week is ruined and I have other work to be done because these idiots showed up. And after he kind of gave me a weird look and he's like, okay, as long as you're good. And then he left. And afterwards, the look he gave me was kind of like, that's not the right reaction. The reaction to being more upset about the paperwork than the circumstance.
Yes.
I'm probably not in the right space. I'm probably at a spot where I'm so used to this type of stress and trauma that being annoyed about the paperwork is not a healthy response to the situation, right?
No, it's so strange, right? So as the host of this show, I try my best to let you go and finish your story. But I was so desperate to interrupt there and go, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
You had just gone through a horrible scenario. What are you talking about? That's amazing, though, isn't it?
Because that's not a healthy response, right? And as much as these professions, and a lot of people all over the world, different jobs experience this, everybody's all about mental health until it impacts the bottom line or staffing or something else. And then all of a sudden you get fewer opportunities or it impacts your career in some way, even though all the corporations and government, they're always like, oh, mental health is the priority, until it messes with their plan. And then,
exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly. If they've got to cover your shift tomorrow night, mental health can wait a couple of days.
Right, exactly. So that was kind of the trigger where, in amongst a few other similar circumstances, where I'm like, I've got to do something else, right? Like, I'm almost 40. I've got to do something else. And I started looking at e-commerce as an option because I could do it on the side while I was still working.
Yeah.
I'd been on, my kids have got me on TikTok because I just like watching funny animal videos, like dogs doing silly things. So
is that how I came up on your feed? Am I in that algorithm?
Yeah. Right in the algorithm. But because all of our devices communicate and are listening to us all the time, right? Yeah. I look about e-commerce and Amazon and private label and drop shipping and affiliate marketing, all these different things. Mm. The algorithm started pushing stuff on my TikTok. And the guys that run the FBA Boss Academy started popping up. And I'd seen a lot of the very obvious scammy kind of things.
Yeah.
And there was a video with one of the Kevins who he was talking about his workday. And he's like, I make this much money a year and this much money a month. He was like, it'll work. And it was cut with one of these videos where the intro is the guy who's like, it's the three easy steps and he's driving a gold Lambo, traveling all over the world, never working kind of thing. Right. And he's like, I work every day. I work like four or five hours. I'm at my desk. I'm on a computer. I'm making calls. But the difference is, compared to when I was younger and working like 18 hours a day to just barely make rent, I now leverage an hour of my time for like $3,000 or $4,000. He goes, but it's still work. Like, there's still headaches. And that was one of the things that I saw. I'm like, that's interesting. And I started kind of looking more into the academy and ended up signing up in middle of 2022, which was an entertaining experience because I told a few people about like what I was looking at doing. And every single one of them, except for one of my buddies, was like, well, that's a scam and you've lost your money. You threw away those thousands of dollars on this program. Way to go.
That's interesting.
But a good friend of mine, him and I were talking about it, and he was in a very similar circumstance as me with regards to the woman is just getting tired.
Same line of work.
Yeah. He worked for me in that position. He was on one of my teams. But he had a very grounded perspective on reality that the job wasn't the most important thing in the world. Like, family, your free time, you work to support yourself and your family and your mental health, not, other way around.
Yeah.
And he asked me, he goes, okay, so worst case scenario, you're looking at cost of program plus the cost of launching a product on Amazon. What are you potentially out? And I'm like, well, realistically, at most 10, 12, 13 grand. He's like, okay, so if you lose that money, if it's all gone, you can make that back in a reasonable time frame. And I was like, yeah, I mean, we get lots of overtime offers. I can make that back in a year and a half, probably, if I really work at it.
Yeah.
And so it's not that big a loss. And he's like, okay, so what's the potential return? Well, the potential return is I don't have to do this job anymore, is the biggest one. And I can do a better job looking after my family and work from home and just have a better life.
Live longer. Yeah.
And so when you look at the potential risk reward, it was kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, right.
So just went through with launching a product.
Did you look at any other models? Because we're talking private label here, aren't we? Did anything else not cross your mind?
I looked at arbitrage and I looked at wholesale, and just from the kind of basic knowledge I'd grasped, and because I'm fairly decisive and I'm pretty good with moving forwards with things.
Yeah.
Once I found because I'd been hunting for a few months on kind of researching how all these things work. Once I kind of locked into one that was, I know enough about how goods move around the world. I know enough about logistics and I know enough about business that I really just kind of need to learn how Amazon work, and then I can kind of lock it in. It kind of made that one a no-brainer as compared to like drop shipping, where I just at the time didn't understand how to drive external traffic to a listing or a shop, right? You're running something on Shopify. I didn't know how any of that worked. But the idea that Amazon would look after all of it, and with private label, I could potentially have a much bigger return for less time investment than something like arbitrage. It just made more sense because I figured if I did it right, I could scale that very quickly and very heavily.
Yeah.
With still fairly minimal time investment, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So that was kind of just what I settled on. And once I had an idea that it would work, I just went forwards with that. And since then I've looked at other things and kind of started dabbling in a few other things just to see how they work, which is a bit entertaining because you have time for it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that was how things kind of started. And then I started building a really good rapport with both of the guys that run the academy. I attended all of the Zoom calls they had because there was twice a week Zoom calls, and more and more frequently was answering questions that fell out kind of outside the scope of the academy. It was still things people needed to know. So like import regulations, international trade, how things work overseas for production, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And to preface, my wife has greenlit me to talk about this part, largely because she has so many friends. We're total opposites. I'm extreme introvert. She is the extreme extrovert.
Okay.
She has such a large social group that the only way that she could keep people up to speed on what was going on with her was through Instagram posts and social media.
Right.
But at the time that I was in the process of developing and launching my first product, she had gone through a surgery, a fairly major surgery, and was recovering, and in recovery was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And caught at stage one. She's fully recovered. She's in remission. She's totally great. Right.
Great.
But at the time, and this is one of the ones where people complain about, you know, I don't have enough time to do any of these things. I was working 60 or 70 hours a week. I was getting her to all of her appointments, and I was launching a product on Amazon and sleeping when I could. Right. So, at that point in time, the big change for me, and it's a shame that I think that it took this much of a, you know, being in this kind of position to make the decision to make a change and step out of the safety of, you know, paid twice a month kind of a job, was she was in for surgery. It was early November of 22. She was in surgery. At that point in time, after COVID, that hospital, a lot of hospitals in the area, didn't have waiting rooms anymore. You couldn't stay at waiting rooms. They just, you could wait in the cafeteria, which was disgusting because it's a hospital, or go home. So I was sitting in my car in the parking lot while she's in surgery to have a tumor removed. And sitting there, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing right now? And I messaged one of the guys that runs the academy. I was like, hey, so it's obvious that I have some value to the program. What do you think about hiring me, right? Or putting my company on contract to do something. I don't care what it is, just so that I can. And I didn't bring up they didn't know about the whole cancer part of that point in time. This was just a blind call, like, you know. And he's like, yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's do it. Okay. That was easy. He's like, we can't bring you on right now. We'd have to be like January 1st renewed for fiscal or whatever. If that works for you. And he's like, how much do you make? And I gave him a number. He's like, well, I don't know for a fact that we can pay you that much, but we'll pay you, you know, as much as we can. They ended up matching what I already made. And so I had the last couple of months on the job of just slowly caring less and less about all the politics. It was nice. And then knowing that this was like the nail in the coffin, knowing that I had that job lined up and I could potentially do my full-time regular work and do that on the side, right? I went to my bosses, who my direct superior, I really like. She's top notch, like really, really good, but is still business is the bottom line and somewhat political. So I went to her and asked her, I'm like, hey, so starting January, my wife is going to have to go into post-operative treatment. She's going to be needing like 5 appointments a week, right? To go through all the cancer treatments. I need to be there to get her to and from this. Like, I'm not going to let her do this on her own. Right. And I already knew what the answer was going to be.
Yeah.
I asked him, like, hey, like demote me. I don't care. I don't care what position I'm in, as long as I'm collecting a minimum paycheck and I can work from home so I can get her to and from, and I'll put in my hours around her appointment, like whatever you need me to do. And was told that there was no value in me working from home. And so this in a position where over the past like 5 years had provided significant value. Like, there's a reason that my 6-month temp position turned into like a 4.5 year position.
Yeah.
Was working on things that were like drastically above my pay grade, right? So I was somewhat valued,
yeah,
but not valued enough to get 90 days sitting at home working on a laptop, right? And so I already had my slip there, and I'm okay. Well, that's fair enough. But by the way, I'm done January 1st. Like, here's the paper, right?
Yeah,
And the big difference between public sector and private sector, right? I was complaining to the guys, the Kevins, after that, like a month or two later, because I found out that they were cutting off my medical after 90 days, which they can extend that as long as they want for whatever reasons. And with my wife going through cancer treatments, they just sent me a letter like, hey, we're cutting off your medical after 90 days. Okay. And so I was complaining to the guys, and they're Americans. So to them, they're like, yeah, but you know, medical's free in Canada. It's like, well, if I got a broken leg, they've got to set it in a hospital, but medication, physio, treatments, dental, that's all paid.
Yeah, cool.
And one of the guys goes, well, how much is medical in Canada? I'm like, I have no idea. Probably a lot. He goes, well, just get a quote, get whatever top level plan you want, and we'll just tag that on your contract every month.
These guys are unreal.
Didn't me? Right? Which is funny because like their social media presence, they're young guys, they make a lot of money. Their social media presence is a little swaggery, right?
Yeah. That's the MO, isn't it? That's it.
Yeah. That's kind of the image. They are two of the most caring, genuine people in the world. Like they gave me the biggest shot and biggest opportunity ever. And not just working with them, but just teaching me how to make my own money on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely. But fair play to you, Jason. But you are self-declared introvert to reach out to network and say, this is what I've got. I'm bringing this to the table. What can you do? And look what happened.
Well, and I think part of the, like in the entrepreneurial space with e-commerce in particular, networking is such a powerful tool. Like, whereas with the guys here, like in the last, so they got me contracted with them January of last year. And since then, I have met so many people who are in the same space as me or in different e-commerce industries. And everybody wants everybody else to win.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it's such a lovely environment, isn't it? But again, there are people that will suck the energy out of a room. The mood hoovers is what we like to call them. But in the most part, it's the most supportive community. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
You know from your other corporate positions or any positions you've had, sometimes projects will come up and people will jump on board to see how much work they can provide, to see how much credit they can leverage at the end.
Yes.
Right? Because the pie is only so big in those
cases. Exactly. Disproportionately so as well. They know they'll tread on other people's heads to get that credit
just,
as well.
Just to call their way a little bit higher for a little more, like, and realistically for recognition, not for, you know, more money or more time at home.
Yeah.
Not like you can't trade recognition for better grocery prices. That's not a thing. So you hold into this project last week, you should probably give me more cauliflower. Right? not a thing. So in this space, I've met so many people who are just so willing to help each other get ahead. And it's really cool being in a space where I'm able to do that as well, right?
Yeah.
To try to promote other people getting out of their 9-to-5 and working into a space where they're their own boss, they make their own money, and they have the skill sets to further develop that, right? I had no intention of getting any business partners when I started. I was just like, I'll do my own thing. That's just all on my own, right?
Same, yeah.
Now I think I'll probably have a fourth one set up by the end of the year. I've had about 19 or 20 offers for business partnerships of varying types. I've signed on to 3 of them. And they're all because it's with people that there's mutual respect and there's overlapping skill sets that you can use to leverage everybody making more money.
Yeah. But also I'm willing to bet without knowing anything about what you're doing with these people, I'll bet there's overlapping values as well, because that's what underpins everything, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like you have to kind of be in line in certain ways for that to mesh.
Yeah.
There's a number of people that have offered me like, hey, I have millions of dollars. You do the work. I'll pay the money. And they have no understanding of how the space works and no interest in understanding how the space works. And I want no part of that because that just sounds like a salary. That just sounds like me having another boss, which is not the point, right?
Exactly right.
This is one of the best things about the space, right? With people wanting each other to win. One of the best things I've learned is that, and I understood this in the past job, like perceived value, right? There are such small things you can do that take no effort or energy on your part, realistically. Like
part of your day to day anyway, isn't it?
Like it doesn't cost you anything other than maybe a little bit of your time, but it can present such a tangible value to changing somebody else's life for just a little bit of effort on your part. And it's such just an extraordinary amount of return for someone else. It's worth doing every time. Like, it's absolutely worth doing every time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, it drives me mad when you and I are talking about the services that we can provide and people say to us, there are no Amazon sellers out there that are successful and sell courses at the same time. Yeah. Mate, open your eyes. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
Because the people that get it, the people that understand that there is literally room for all of us. There's so much room.
This is like, people don't understand how much money actually exists in the world, right? People are so inured to throwing around terms like, you know, million, billion, whatever. And they don't understand the scale of those numbers even. So yes. a million seconds is about a week. A billion seconds is something like 32 years.
Yes. So
when you have people in the world who individually have billions and billions of dollars, like, there's enough for me to offset my home income from my regular job.
Yeah.
There's enough money there to do that, right? And to the point where there's deals that I've signed and work that I've done just like test things, just see how they work, right? Like setting up an Amazon storefront for a company, just to see how it actually works and what the potential return is. Getting like 3 months of what my previous job's take home would have been for one contract that realistically didn't take me that much of a time investment over a couple of months. Like, it in no way is impacting my other free time just because I've developed a skill set that's relevant to it.
Yeah.
And those people being happy to pay that much and willing to pay more for the value that they're getting, right? I have a calendar link on my TikTok if people want to book a call and just talk about getting started in private label or whatever it is.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
And so it's partly set as a bit of a barrier to entry, so people aren't just wasting their own time and their own money. Like, it's priced at a point where people aren't going to waste their time or mine. And they obviously have enough interest there. They're going to spend the money on that call where there is a gain for them, which is always the goal, right? And it's not cheap, but people that have decided to make that change, if they're just starting out or if they already have a business and they want to kind of adapt it to private label or Amazon in general, if they're spending that much money on a call with me, they're likely saving at least 3 to 10 times that much money just by getting an hour of my time to troubleshoot some stuff.
I completely agree. It's completely relative to the value they're getting out of that. And they're going to get a lot of value out of that. So the price point is completely suitable, mate. 100%.
And so you see people that are like, who would pay that much money for a conversation with somebody? I would.
Yeah.
Like, if I could do a thing where I got to spend a few hundred dollars and that thing keeps me from making a mistake that might cost me $10,000, I'm up more than $9,000 long term, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people that are getting into there's a lot of people that will never get into the space because they're so jaded about the potential for, you know, they're just going to get ripped off whatever they try.
Yeah.
They'll never pull the trigger, right? It's easier just to throw crappy comments on social media than anything else.
That's it, mate. And I don't know whether it's a Commonwealth thing, Jason, but Britain and Canada, we're kind of similar to that. Yeah. Terrible at investing in ourselves. Terrible at it.
Yes, 100%.
The Americans, for some reason or other, love it.
Like, how many people who have gone to university and paid tuition and have a $80,000 student loan now can't get a job in their chosen field? I went to school in computer sciences. I've never once used anything out of that education.
Same.
Like, anything that I've used that's related to tech, I've learned myself because you'll learn more from YouTube than you will from a professor for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, I get if you're going to be like a lawyer or a doctor, we probably want those people going to school. But general studies shouldn't even be a thing. Like, it should be like the trades, like your apprentice to do something.
Completely agree. Right? Yeah.
Billing somebody thousands of dollars for general studies so at the end they have a piece of paper and no practical skills is insane.
All right, part one. We are done. We're going to roll it over into next week. I told you his voice was cool, didn't I? But it's just another example of, well, I've been doing this, what now, 9 months? Story after story after story, same things. There is a straw that breaks the camel's back. There is a point in everyone's life, and I don't care if you're 21, I don't care if you're 60. At some point, you know, hang on a minute, there's something out there that's better for me than this. I don't care how invested you are in your career. I don't care about what savings you might have in place. I don't care about career trajectory. You either change it for the better or you make do with what you've got. Jason decided that he had had enough. the job that he was doing wasn't serving him for the life he wanted to live. So he went, you know what? My mates are telling me this is a scam. My mates are telling me that I'm going to piss my money down the toilet. I don't care. This is what I'm doing. And bosh, he made the success of it where many others would have quit. Many others haven't even tried. And many others have poo-pooed before they even got started. Furthermore, he was sitting in the car park while his wife was having treatment at the hospital, and he stepped so far out of his comfort zone to ring up the Kevins and offer his services to them, and he reaped the reward. Let's get to the tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Start believing in yourself, for God's sake. I talk about manifestation. I talk about the law of attraction. I talk about putting yourself out there, but it is utterly useless unless you flip and you start believing in yourself. You start those stories that in your head that have been holding you back for years, decades, and you realize that that voice is talking nonsense. The stress you feel, the anxiety you feel towards a person, towards a set of circumstances, that is entirely on you. Entirely. Nobody can make you feel a certain way if you refuse to feel it. Now, that is very simplified, and I understand that I don't know an awful lot of circumstances out there where you might come back at me and say, what about this, this, and this, and this? There is a universal truth that if you believe in yourself and you feel it, you can do anything. It just depends on how much you believe. I am a walking example of what can be achieved if you start implementing this mindset where you are better than the version that you have told yourself that you are. So switch that freaking brain on, start believing and get involved, because I believe any one of you listening to this can do better if you just trusted yourself more.
Tip of the week.
And that's the show. On we go to next week, where we carry on our chat with Jason and we carry the ball rolling on what is turning out to be a hell of a 2024, let me tell you. Ups and downs. Woo! Like Ronan said, life is a roller coaster. You just got to ride it. Thank you again to our sponsors. Thank you again to Celeran. Great to have you on board. Let's kick on to next week. Oh, and if you like the new intro, stick around, because we've got a new outro as well. So bring it in. Come on. Let's bring in the new voiceover. We've got a new disclaimer as well, because I think that isn't said enough. The fact that this is a tough time to be living in the West at the moment, and there is help out there. So if you do need it, stick around for the disclaimer as well. In the meantime, tell your friends about this podcast. Spread the word. Let's start getting this ball rolling, the momentum behind the Goodbye Poor Hello Rich train. Choo choo. Have a lovely week. Take care. Bye bye.
You've been listening to the 200 to 100,000 pounds challenge podcast. Be sure to join us next time for more real talk and undoubtedly terrible jokes as Des gets ever more closer to saying goodbye poor, hello rich. Sponsored by Celeran. Sourcing analysis simplified.